It is six.
All right, it is 6 o'clock. We are going to start our board meeting by standing for a moment of silence, followed by a pledge of allegiance. The flag's in this corner.
Oh.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Ira, when you're ready, please call roll.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Present.
Mrs. Fenn?
Present.
Mr. Golub?
Present.
Mr. Hershberger?
Here.
Mr. Schraff?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, I need a motion to approve the minutes from the February 14th regular and March 9th special board meeting.
So moved.
I have Fenn. Do I have a second?
Yep.
Schaffrath? Any questions?
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Schaffrath?
Yes.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yep.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes. All right, now we'll move into the fun section, student recognition, staff recognition, and any guests. Mr. Osborne?
Okay, just to ensure that we can hear everybody, we please use the microphone. And we will start with Jody Hughes from Hazel Harvey, please.
Hello, good evening. So our students of the month are selected just on character and how they do progressively month to month. We look for students who are responsible, respectful, and give their best effort. So for the month of March, we'd like to recognize Mia Myers, Scarlett Inneman, Casey Miller, and Bryson Mark from kindergarten. First graders Miles Janiga, Emily Gradwall, Adriana Costanzo, Adeline Maslanka, and Temperance Gibbons. And our second grade students are Carter Willig, Arabella Zetzer, Aaron Warfield, and Max Uber. So congratulations to those students.
Thank you, Mrs. Hughes.
At the intermediate school, our students of the month are chosen on students who show kindness daily, who are positive role models at school. And our CIS students of the month in third grade were Kaylee Steiner and Caitlin Davis. In fourth grade, Leilani Vega and Brody Kenley. In fifth grade, Isabella LaMonica and Brian Weaver. And in sixth grade, Haley Dersch and Titus Klotzel.
The Chippewa Junior Senior High School students of the month are selected by their teachers. For their hard work in the classroom and showing good citizenship throughout the school day. This month is Gabriella Barnett and Nathaniel Spry for seventh grade, Molly Peters and Solomon Steiner for eighth grade, Peyton Romano and Gavin Lepley for ninth grade, Riley Watson and Joseph Deacon for 10th, Molly Birch and Noah Zollinger for 11th, Naomi Wirtz and Carson Hunsel for 12th.
Marshall. Our needle mover tonight was not able to be here. He was on vacation. It is our starting of our spring break, and so he's on vacation. But Casey Starr, our school psychologist, is our needle mover of the month. Katie Schrock, our director of student services, wrote this up about Casey. He strives to support all teachers, administrators, parents, and students. He builds relationships within each building and knows the true value of knowing our students as individuals while always seeking the best interests of the students. We appreciate his dedication to our district. Casey is a positive role model throughout our entire district. He works in all three buildings. He meets with students of all ages, creates positive relationships, and fosters student confidence while they work together. He takes time to build relationships with families and works to meet the goals of each of our students. Casey continues seeks out professional development opportunities to ensure he's up to date on all testing as well as all psychological roles. He attends psychologist meetings through Tri-County, state support teams, and our continued legal updates. CPI training as well as Orton-Gillingham training, which is a reading program, to grow an educational background to support students. Casey works in our district with every student in regards to testing, getting to know them, observing, creating plans that support our students academically and behaviorally. He utilizes parents' input, teachers' inputs, which allows the team to make a cohesive plan for the best development of our students. Mr. Starr collaborates with both colleagues and families daily. In his role as our school psychologist, he contacts the home, talks with parents, and learns their family needs for their students as more about the students as individuals. He is an asset to all of our teaching teams. Mr. Starr is involved in our community and stakeholders in the educational process by including all students, parents, and family members to be part of the special education process. Casey takes the time to meet with doctors, extended families, counselors, and therapists to create an exclusive view of a student, ensuring that we take all perspectives into consideration for the best academic and personal goals for our students. Mr. Starr is the man not only behind the scenes, but as well as at the forefront. Our district would not be able to support our student at-risk population, nor the students being served on IEPs without his help, knowledge, and support. We are very proud to have Casey, and we are very lucky to have him. I can tell you, as a superintendent, when I was down in Columbus, a school having their own school psychologist our size is rare. We usually have to share because they are at a premium throughout the state. We are extremely lucky to have Casey as part of our team and part of our community. We really are. So thank you for the nominations from the team, and I'd like to thank Casey Starr as our needle mover. And I made it all the way in without dropping it this month, so I do have it with me, and it's not broken.
Yay!
I'm proud of myself. Staying on the theme with our students, I'd like to bring up our athletic director, Mr. Boley. You can grab it over there or share mine. He's going to update us on winter sports programs and some of the success we had in our programs.
We just finished up winter. With the conclusion of the wrestling state tournament that just finished up this weekend. I'll go down the list, starting with middle school wrestling. Ben Pierce got second in the league. He will be competing in the state tournament, the middle school state tournament, this upcoming weekend at the Covelli Center in Youngstown. Our high school wrestling program took a giant leap this year. Again, as you probably know, the Halls took over. Hannah, Shelby, Bryson, Rusty Lockhart, they've done a great job with cultivating that program and kind of bringing it up. And we had multiple WCAL placers. We had multiple sectional placers, which then led to Garfield Heights District, in which we had Gabby Garten, we had Trent Zollinger, we had Neil Miller, we had Nate Morris, and we had Tyler Lauer. Nate Morris was a state alternate. And then the introduction of girls state wrestling came about this year, and our girls did very, very well. Hannah and Shelby kind of took them around the qualifying areas around the state, none of which were very local, so hopefully that can get rectified moving forward. And again, Gabby Garten got second in the state, and Isabella Adams got fourth. Moving on to basketball, our high school girls had another good year. They were defeated by Elyria Catholic in the district semis up at North Ridgeville. Our boys were defeated by the same team, Elyria Catholic, in the sectional final. And then our eighth grade girls had a great tournament run and were WCAL runner-up, defeating undefeated Norwayne along the way, ultimately losing to Wayndale. Our seventh grade girls were undefeated on the year, and they're here to be recognized with others tonight. Undefeated on the year, undefeated in the tournament, WCAL champs. And again, our cheerleading squad does an outstanding job, headlined by Michelle Reese. Once again, they had a great winter season cheering for us. So that's the winter season. Spring sports got underway last week. So again, if your child is involved in track or boys tennis or baseball, or softball, those are underway. All right, that is the winter update.
Mr. Boley?
Those athletes that that I called out, if you could come up, the board wants a picture with them, with everybody. Girls basketball, seventh grade girls basketball, those wrestlers, Coach Hall. Hannah isn't here tonight. She's on vacation for spring break, but Shelby's here. The seventh grade girls were coached by Coach Storad.
Spread out, ladies. Come on.
Yes. Fix them back up. There we go. So we can get ourselves in here. Come on. That's all right. We'll go down on one knee.
We're not very tall back here.
Hey. Where am I coaching? Coach Bowley, you're not doing a very good job here. Listen, we need to get this room a little smaller, and they probably have to go on one knee.
Nobody really wants to see us back here, though.
So. They're like, yeah, absolutely. Just go on front page. You guys are going to, there we go. Just one knee.
Oh,
my God. Nate's up there?
Yeah, come up on one knee. Thank you.
Woo! Good job, folks. Nate has thrown about 3 feet.
Oh, that's Nate.
Yeah, that's Nate.
That's right. Nate Samples.
Thank you, Mr. Bowley. And
thank you, Mr. Bowley.
Thank you, ladies. And much appreciation to our wrestling coaches for continuing to work and strive, and the growth of our program is duly noted. And we have to be, at least I know we're in the minority, if not the only head boys wrestling program with a female coach. I mean, I am not aware of anybody else. I know female wrestling is becoming bigger and bigger, and we had two district qualifiers this year, so I'm looking for the growth of those programs and like to thank our coaches for all that they have done with that. Lastly, board, if you're looking at your computers here, I've updated quite a few things. So if you're on the board section of your computer, if you get down to the Hazel Harvey upgrades and click on that, I'm going to have about 5 different slides that are there on your computer for you to see. The first one is the Mrs. Hughes is paying close attention to this one. The HVAC at Hazel Harvey. We do have a quote in there for what it would cost to upgrade that boiler and bring it, and you're going to have to get a new control system with that. Now, we're going to have to gather quotes, so it's a soft estimate, but as you see in there, it's $250,000 in that quote just for the boiler and the controls. And there are some different finance options with that, but, you know, just looking at that piece and going back through that. Mr. Birch is here to kind of walk you through some of the details, more into the trenches as to what's going on with those boilers and what they'd be replacing with that piece. And then I will pick up after that. We get to the next one. So if you have any in-depth questions, Mr. Birch will be the one that will need to be answering them. Mr. Birch, boilers.
Yes. Good evening, everybody. So it comes down to the boilers for the schools. I guess everybody's known here, as of lately, everything hasn't quite been up to par. The boilers, I believe, were updated in the late 80s, maybe early 90s. Still at this point, we are currently with just one boiler at Hazel. We finally did receive the materials to upgrade the second boiler to get it back in operation. With these quotes, there's a few things that are not included, so this is still going to kind of add to our price. And as Mr. Osborne indicated, this time it's kind of hard to get a solid, you know, estimate on what we're going to, you know, have to do with the prices of everything fluctuating right now. Things that are not included are new circulating pumps. That has been a problem in the last month, I believe. We've replaced all three of them. The system that we have is still not the best. The power problems that we had with the last ice storm actually locked all three of our pumps out while I was down at the cabin. And I found out on Sunday, so, oh, no, I got to get back and get this taken care of. Something that would help to remedy that are VFD drives, variable frequency drives. These are drives that once started up, they gradually increase your pumps to the speed that need to be. With the system that we have now with the power fluctuations, it's on, off, on, off, on, off. It's obviously, they're not really made to be doing that. It's nobody's fault. It's, you know, it's a freak of nature with the storm, but that's something else that's not included in there that I would like to see added. Another thing needs to be done is we need to clean out the lines when the boiler is updated. We have underground leaks leading from the basement that go to the second grade wing. We've kind of looked at these the last several years. Have not found a remedy for it yet. Basically, we're going to have to dig them up, replace. And I believe, you know, then too, this is going to take care of the heating situation for Hazel. That's a big thing. I want everybody to realize this is no air conditioning, just heating. And I believe that's all I have for the HVAC part.
So, if we were to look at some other companies to come in and also take a look at that, but we just to kind of give you an idea, that's kind of where our starting point's going to be. I mean, we're not anticipating it going lower, and they would still use some of the same registers.
Yes, yes. The current registers that we have are what will be used. They will be retrofitted with the new control valves for opening and closing. Each one will be controlled in the individual classroom. So it's still not the, you know, top of the line heating situation, but they will be definitely a lot more operational than what we have currently.
Those lines, are they under the floor?
No, these are in the units that are underneath the windows. I guess it's like a cabinet unit.
Okay, well, I'm referring to the line clean out. From the boiler to the
Window? Most of those are through the walls, through the ceilings. For some reason, whenever they decided to add on to the second grade wing, instead of taking it through the building, I think they thought they would take a shortcut and they went underground with it.
Okay.
The worst possible thing they could have done. I don't know why they did it, but they did.
So those are under the floor?
Yeah, those are under the floor going through the side of the building right out underground.
Okay.
And there's a big leak in one of those that's coming back into the building.
Right. So in the second slide, if you look on, you gave him a hard copy.
Yeah, for the roofing, yes.
It's also in your board docs, but Brad gave you a hard copy also that has the roof for Hazel Harvey and the estimate with that. Now, same company gave us the estimate 2 years ago on the roof, prior to looking at that decision to move forward with closing Hazel Harvey and moving to CIS. That roof, looking on the front under the 20-year, done together with the roof at CIS, the Hazel Harvey roof was $500,000 then. It's $550,000 now. So that has went up $50,000 in that piece to replace that roof. It is not under warranty at this point in time. If you would, online, if you're looking at it, you can, the CIS roof is under warranty for one more year. So we would have that. So those quotes are in there for Hazel Harvey and CIS. And if you want to, as I scroll back, and I open up the Chippewa Local Schools 2002 roof report for CIS. If it'll work with me, and it's not going to work with me.
It's
So Todd, while you're looking that up, just for the public that doesn't have visibility to these documents, that CIS roof is, if it's done in conjunction with Hazel Harvey, is $1.4
million? Yes, I have it right here. Yes. If it's done in conjunction with that.
So is that 1.4 for both roofs or just CIS?
Just CIS.
Thank you.
Done at the same time with Hazel Harvey. So, as I said, we do have the one more year with that, and we're looking at some other quotes with those pieces. But as we start to get through this, obviously the company that gave us a quote wants to come back and look at it. They gave us a good estimate as to where we are. Mr. Birch is on the roof more than anybody. I don't know if you have anything to add with that.
No, there's, if you look into the files that you're provided, there should be a complete document, and in that complete document it has pictures that have been taken up on the roof.
Yes,
there's many.
There is.
And it just kind of shows you some of the issues that we're having.
The next topic that Mr. Birch and I have are the kitchen quotes. When we were in the process of moving and exploring the possibility of going from Hazel Harvey to CIS, Mrs. Shafrath and myself wrote a letter to the Department of Health asking for a waiver to upgrade the kitchen to bring it up to date. And that letter is in there that I wrote and was approved by the Wayne County Health Department. Mr. Jones, he approved that, and we were moving in that direction. We chose not to move to continue with that direction. I notified him that we weren't doing that. He responded back to that, if he was able to scroll down through there, and said that we needed to bring the lighting, the sinks. We don't have a cleanliness problem. We need a grease trap. We need better sinks. We need upgraded serve lines. And we need sinks to be able to clean the pans that we're using. They don't fit into that sink. So with those upgrades, they're included in there, and we're working through estimates on that, but that will be a primary target this summer to get that kitchen up and running and inspected prior to the first day of school for the 2022-2023 school year. So that will become the major work that Brad and his department will be working on. We've been searching around to find sinks, at different places, looking at potentially places that have shut down that would fit for us and have a grease trap, which is a big component for the kitchen and a need. So we're estimating that cost to be under $50,000, but that's based on everything coming through and being here, like, yes, but we're hoping we can stay underneath that price tag with all the different items that we got to bring up to date. The biggest item that's out there is the freezer. It's just not sealed. It's the original. And so we're looking at something that's over 50 years old. There lies our problem. We're not sure we can find parts, and we're hoping we're going to have a retrofit and not have to replace the entire thing, much like we did at CIS last year. Am I missing anything with that?
No, as you were pointing out, the problem with the freezer and actually probably the refrigerator too is that the doors are wood. That's just going to show how old they are. And part of it, we will be able to do most of the demo. Unfortunately, when it comes to installation now, they require that the health department requires that a certified plumber or electrician is there to install. That's not something that I would be allowed to do, unfortunately.
Excuse me, so is a rough estimate of bringing Hazel Harvey up to code 50,000?
Very rough.
Probably.
That's our target.
But it could be, I mean.
It could go higher.
75,000, top it out?
No way to guess?
Yeah,
okay.
That's
fine.
With the pricing of metals and that right now,
I understand.
Yeah, that would
Thank
be nice
you.
To get that solid figure, but it's
okay.
Not.
Thank you.
And so one of the things that we've been working on, and we did at CIS, is we upgraded the lighting there. The lighting at Hazel Harvey badly needs updated. Their windows badly need updated. You could feel the air coming through them. So we had an energy company come in and do a cost analysis as to what they thought the cost would be on retrofitting all the lights inside and outside and replacing the windows. That cost analysis came in a little over $700,000, and we would not receive the windows until June of 2023 if we ordered this spring. They are that far back on that supply chain line with those that piece. By the time they'd order, they'd all have to be a custom. We would not receive them until June of 2023. It was the earliest, best estimate that he could give us. And so a lot of details are further in there. I was hesitant to put anything out because these aren't hard numbers. These are extremely soft numbers. And so therefore, I put it on paper. I want somebody to believe, well, you said this number. This is not the number. This is an estimate of people walking through, writing down numbers, getting it together, counting the number of lights, and saying, on average, this is probably where you'll be. I mean, this is people in the business with that. So, you know, that's why I put them in that file there so we'd have a good understanding as kind of numbers that we are looking at and what we need to target, because there would have to be a financial plan that would come with this to upgrade this building. And so we went through all those things. In the past, I listed an energy savings plan that we received. That is also in that file if you get a chance to go through that. And as I said, those are fairly accurate numbers because at least I know the cost of the employees that are doing that work, you know, cutting the grass. If we take that offline, you know, what that energy savings would be by going to LED, upgrading the boiler, what we're paying monthly at this point in time for electric and gas and the savings that we have because we locked into it. So those are fairly accurate, probably the best numbers that I could give to you all at this point in time with that piece. The last thing that we brought up was the flooring. We had a problem right before school started. Some of the tile came up in one of the elementary classes. So Brad will be able to give you the name of the company, but we contacted an asbestos company that told us how to remove that tile and what we were allowed to do to get that classroom operational. So we followed through those procedures, and you guys did it, right?
Correct.
Yeah, our guys completed that. And so they tore up the tile through the process, as we were explained. All that tile has asbestos in it, so as we lose tile, if you're going to want to walk them through what you did with that classroom, we will start looking at doing the same thing in these other classrooms also for the short term.
Yeah, unfortunately, it began as a small project that, you know, when it comes to the over the summer cleaning and they start to strip and wax the floors, I mean, obviously the time that these tiles have been down, they start to strip, they put their water down to clean. As the water starts to soak in, these tiles start popping up. It kind of started in a small, maybe a 5x5 area. As we started to continue, we were just going to temporarily just put down some new tiles to replace the old. It got to the point where as we're going along, you can touch the next tile, and next thing you know, we're going like this and half the room is up. So we contacted, I think it was CTL Engineering, a gentleman by the name of Phil Ott. I believe they did the asbestos abatement at the old middle school. We talked to Mr. Ott and asked him what we could do to remove this. He advised us how we could go about it. Basically ended up removing all the tile from that classroom. Sealed it with a garage epoxy, mm-hmm. And then waxed it and continued. Now, I guess we're okay. The only thing that I would like to see is if we do that, use an epoxy with a epoxy sealer over top before we actually wax, which will help to contain any asbestos. There's minimal amount that would be left in the gluing that they used to use, which is when your tiles come up, it looks black. He advised that we would be okay, but I myself would like to see another seal over that just for safety purposes.
So, you know, the topic was to get everybody an update as we're working through our facility plan and everything we need to take care of. the things that we're going to look to do, the kitchen will be number one. That's going to have to happen this summer. We're not going to be able to get around that. Secondly, we do have a plan, as if tile would come up, what we would do is a short-term fix. And realistically, our facility committee and finance committee are going to have to take a look at these numbers and decide how we're going to go about and get these paid for. I mean, and start putting things together. And we need to get more. We don't have any quotes. We have estimates from one groups that have come in and gave us that time so we can present the information. We need to streamline that and actually come in and get hard quotes and get a good idea as to what we're trying to accomplish and what needs to go first. We understand if we get into the ceiling at Hazel Harvey, there's potential of asbestos in the ceiling. And when we had somebody come through, they told us there's probably in those plaster walls, you'd be looking at some asbestos. And they gave us a quote, the shy of 200,000, or just north of 200?
I think it was a little bit north.
A little bit north?
On the north side of it, yeah.
Okay. Too many numbers coming through as to what it would be for that asbestos.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hirschberger.
Yes. The paper I seen said 175 to 250 on the quote for the asbestos.
Yeah.
Yes. It basically comes down to what areas they're going to be getting into. Like I said, as far as the updates, we're not sure how they're going to go about it, what areas they're going to be going through. So that's another one that's kind of hard to say, yeah, this is what it's going to be.
Right.
So. Yes, sir.
If I could just regress for a minute, on the flooring, is the asbestos in the tile? Is it in the glue, or is it in the underlayment, or all three?
I guess it would be the underlayment, and it is in the tile. The older tiles, from what I've been told, the 9x9s usually will contain asbestos. When you get to your newer 12x12 tiles, those do not. I guess they're a situation with CIS is I did not realize that they do have some too, but theirs is in the glue, basically, or the underlayment.
So Brad's been on the job all of 3 months, and we've got a lot done in 3 months and did a lot of investigating with that. But we've been spending a lot of time looking at the facilities and determining a plan, not only for our school facilities, what needs to be done and moving forward, but also some of our outdoor facilities. But we wanted you to update where we had some rough estimates, soft costs, and also understand that we will be renovating at Kitchen at Hazel Harvey this summer. That will have to take place so we can open school next year. Yes?
The $700,000 number, that was for new windows, correct? That
windows and lighting.
Ordered it, windows and lighting.
Yes.
So even if we ordered it today, we wouldn't be able to get them until next year.
Windows would not be until June of 23. That was their company's buy. Now, is that somebody else's? Can somebody else get them in quicker, have stock? You know, this is what we need to do, but we're trying to get out.
I'm looking for ballparks. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm looking for ballparks. I've been around the block long enough to know we're in the ballpark area now.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. Didn't make
no, you're fine. Good?
Okay. Could we just go through on the CIS roof, just kind of the difference between restore and replace? There's obviously a cost difference, but just what it would mean if we chose restore versus replace there.
From my understanding, when I talked to the gentleman from Garland, as far as a retrofit, or how did you say they refer to that as
restore.
I guess is they come in with a thin membrane and place it over the existing roof. He would actually have to give myself a little bit more explanation on the CIS roof. I don't know how they would do that, because up on that roof, it's actually they basically laid like a limestone on top, not your small normal pebbles that you would use on a roof. These are like 57, like the quarter size. I do not understand why they used that, but they did. So yeah, he basically said that it's a temporary. It's not a long lasting permanent.
Gotcha. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Birch.
What else? We discussed, there was a couple things that I added.
The last thing that I had was the high school safety grant. right now I've been working on getting secure doors at Hazel Harvey. So you have to fob in to get your first set of doors. Your second, once you're in there, you could go. So we want to secure those second set of doors. And I got a grant for a little over $6,400, and we're going to use that grant to secure those doors. And we're going to use the same security system so you don't have one fob for the outside and a different fob from the inside. And that fob also is, it works at both buildings. So we've looked at those security doors. And I know you had a couple other updates.
Oh, yeah, just, and as far as our pricings for Hazel, some of the things that we did not throw in there, and I don't want to go into deep details, but doors, entry, exit doors to the building are going to need replaced. There are several that do not open at this time. I've been waiting for the fire department to get us on those. But and then electrical. We're at the point where basically Hazel Harvey is tapped out. I mean, teachers ask for more outlets, stuff like that. It's at this point, it's pretty much impossible. There is nothing left. We did have a situation 2 years ago where a breaker downstairs went out. I think it was around $100,000 to fix just one breaker. That's how old they are. And we had to go to Toledo to find it. So those are just a couple other things I threw on there that price-wise we're going to have to keep in mind as well.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's my longest superintendent's report that I can remember.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to move into the treasurer's update and agenda items. Ira, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. A few things I want to point out on the front before we take action on the three items there. As you know, we're in a fiscal year 21 annual audit. I got a call from the auditor of state 2 weeks ago. They're estimating that they will complete their audit the end of June, which, to put that in perspective, the end of June, we will be at the end of fiscal year 22. And basically, they apologized, but it's lack of staffing on their end that is prohibiting them from getting our fiscal year 21 audit completed. Did meet with the Finance Committee on March 9th. We reviewed the financial packet, and as I mentioned to them, on the revenue side of that financial packet, I realigned some of those revenue areas to be more in line with how the five-year forecast is presented. We also talked about the review of the acceptance of rates in the official certificate of estimated resources, which is one of those action items tonight. This comes through every March in its approval of the rates provided by the county auditor. A little deeper into the weeds on my financial statement tonight for the general fund. February, we received three advanced collections of real estate taxes for the spring collection period, which in my mind is February, March. We will receive that final payment the end of March. Looking ahead, school district income tax will receive the fourth quarter payment the end of March, or April, I'm sorry. Those being two of our biggest revenue sources, by the end of April, I will know what pretty much two-thirds of my big dollar items are. State Foundation pays us twice a month. One of my objectives since I've been here was to, at some point in time, get our financial statements more visibility to the district through the utilization of our web. As of today, if you go to the treasurer's page on our website, you will find the January financial statement there. You will also find the five-year forecast there and the notes and assumptions to the five-year forecast. Lastly, April board meeting of the 11th, I will be in Columbus, so I will be Zooming in for that meeting. Those are my comments with that in mind. I've got three action items there, approving the financial statement, the packet, the rates for the county auditor, and also an invoice for a $13,000 payment to Independence School District for a special education placement.
All right, thank you, Ira. Do you have a motion for the treasurer's agenda items A and B?
So moved.
I have Fenn. Do I have a second?
Second.
Golub? Questions, conversations?
I had one, Ira. I know we went over this in finance, but just for the benefit of everybody here, when we look at the from the Wayne County Official Certificate of Estimated Resources, there's three columns, personal property taxes, school foundation, and spending reserve that are just straight zeros. I just was wondering if we could reiterate the reasoning as to why they are just like that.
Give me the question again now that I've got the document okay. in front of me.
Okay, so the official certificate of estimated resources, the three columns, personal property taxes, school foundation, spending reserve, are just those three straight zeros. I know we...
This oh, okay.
Yeah, I know we went over this, but just for everyone here.
No, and that's fine. And yes, this is... Yes. This report is virtually what I presented to them in January on the front end. So we're doing a January submission and then this final in March. For my benefit, I've expanded that report to include my school foundation and any spending reserve so that I have a little better control over or knowledge of where my revenue sources are coming from. What the county auditor is truly looking for is the real estate taxes, and that next to the last column, all other sources. So from them, their perspective, it's real estate taxes, all other. From my perspective, it's real estate taxes, public utility, school district income tax being my big chunks. Does that make sense?
Yes, gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Ira, call roll.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes. Motion passes. Moving into superintendent's agenda. Do I have a motion for item A?
So moved.
Fenn, do I have a second?
Yeah.
Shafrath? Questions, comments? All right, Ira, call roll.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yes.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yep.
And Mr. DeAngelis would be abstaining.
Correct. Motion passes. Moving into the superintendent's consent agenda. Todd, anything to review here?
You can see in item A is the grant money received for the Hazel Harvey doors, and we would look for that. Going down through the list, Rhonda Parks is retiring as a bus driver. She is and actually moving down into Stark County, so she'll be moving out of the area. But I'd like to thank her for her time and commitment to the district as a bus driver. You can see we have a couple volunteers and coaches here again. Also asking to approve the Marilyn Rorick, our treasurer's assistant, handles the money coming in and out. For a three-year contract. And down to letter I, kind of be a unique one. We're used as an emergency evacuation shelter for the Doylestown Healthcare Center in event of a disaster. So I want to renew that this is what would happen if they would utilize our buildings in event of a disaster. So everything else seems pretty straightforward. Letter H, I'm sorry. Approving the first reader, the instructional technology coach. I've mentioned that in previous board meetings about getting somebody. Right now, chief does everything, and you know, getting somebody to work directly with staff development in instructional technology. So it is teaching using today's 21st century technology and helping that with that. If you went to school when I went to school, there was no internet, there were no computers, you sat in rows. This is not how our kids are taught today. And we have veteran teachers, younger than me, but still veteran teachers, that this is still new to them, and having somebody coach them, work with them, and develop new skills with them is what this would bring to the table. And it's being implemented in several schools across the area, but it does keep us moving on the forefront. And we did take a teacher down to be part of a future education technology conference, and he did a tremendous job down there. So we do have people in-house interested in this position already.
All right, thank you. Do you have a motion for superintendent's consent agenda items A through I?
So moved.
I have Fenn. Do I have a second?
Yeah.
Shafrath. Questions? Conversations? Comments?
I just have a comment. I would like to thank Rhonda for years of being a bus driver. And I'm so happy to see Mr. Philo coming back and volunteering in our drama department. He's a neat young man, and we have done the Doylestown Healthcare Center emergency evacuation before, and I think it's critical and important to our community. So I thank Mr. Osborne for following up with that.
Thank you.
Just one comment, just to go off of item C, where we have a couple people for the musicals. A couple of us attended the Wanda Junior over the weekend, Thursday, Friday, but it just want to say that those. Very well done, a tremendous performance, and I know I'm looking forward to Oklahoma in May, but I just wanted to congratulate them for their work on that.
All right, thank you. Noted. Any others?
Okay. Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yes.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Hirschberger?
Yep.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes. All right, we'll move into our board discussion. Item A, board training. Ms. Fenn, I believe that's you.
Yes, that was mine. First of all, I wanted to let people know that on Wednesday, March 9th, the board was in a half-day training session. I want to thank the board for making time for that. I thought it was quite valuable, and it was a nice time. We spent over 3 hours with Terry Morgan, who's from the Ohio School Board Association, and she's been doing this for several decades, and she helps to plan the conference down in Columbus. A concept that was emphasized for the board was understanding the roles and the responsibilities for a board member. And it's important that we realize that the board governs the direct district. The administration runs the district. So it's important for board members to stay in their lane, as she emphasized to us. And I think that's important to realize the differences to that. And I would like to thank Mr. Osborne and Mr. Hammond for their participation in the training and helping us through that. And Ms. Morgan did enjoy the time with us. She felt that the conversations and the discussion was very helpful to us. So I thank the board for that. I did give each board member an evaluation for last Wednesday so that we can move forward with more training in the future. And also on the one of the things Ms. Terry emphasized was that whatever we do is reflected through our board policies, and that's how we govern, is through our policies. So on the shared drive, you're going to find, I'm putting the handbook on there, and I'm updating that so that, for example, on the board member page, there's going to be a direct link to the board policies for things such as ethics, our power and duty, our qualifications, board staff communication. And I know we say, oh, it's in policy, but sometimes it's a little overwhelming just to have policy thrown at you. So I will list those links so that easily to reference, mainly the ones that she talked about with us in training, to emphasize so you can find it easily. I also work with Mr. Linder to put on the shared drive tax levy information from 1951 to present, and board members from 1954 to present. I'm cleaning through my years of being on the board, and now that we have these wonderful laptops with a shared drive, I feel we need to get our history on here so new board members can have access to that as soon as they start. So thank you, Mr. Osborne, for getting us our Chromebooks.
Now, just add thank you Linda for setting the training up. I thought it was very well run and worth it. Just to clarify, there are two evaluations, right? One's for Terry and
yes.
OSBA, and then ours is internal, correct?
Yes. The one from Terry I forward to people. The ones from that I made, I handed out to you here.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else with board training? All right, we're going to move into lighted crosswalks. Jay, I believe this is you.
And I gave you all printouts. It's pretty straightforward. And this is more for the guys on the building committee or facility committee. I emailed the mayor, didn't get a response. So I leave it to you guys. Wintertime, it's dark. I think it's pretty common to see stop signs with the LED border. I think it would be beneficial to have these at our crosswalks. And I mean, they're not super bright, but they do get your attention. But a member of the community brought this to my attention, and I think she brings a very valid point, so y'all can review it. I did get a quote, but I emailed that to y'all, and I give it to the committee. It's pretty straightforward. That's all I got.
I'm sorry, when you say give it to the committee, do you mean to the board or?
The board committee, the facility committee.
All right, well, for me personally, is that this is covered in our strategic plan. It's goal number two, safety.
Yeah.
And I think we need to allow those people, and I was trying to find.
I believe it's three.
No, it's goal number two.
Oh, yeah.
My bad. That folks have been assigned to this. And so some of this is due up, you know, within the end of 2022 and 2023. So for me, since this is part of our strategic plan, I would like to see, you know, it go into the people who are responsible for setting this goal. I think that's how we govern with our strategic plan.
Well, that's fine with me. I'd like to see it done as soon as possible, but I don't want to be pushy either.
Well, so. No, I'm just saying, I think since it's part of our strategic plan, we need to turn that information over to those folks. And
okay.
I believe Mr. Osborne can do that, correct?
Yes.
I had it on here for a board discussion just to make sure that everybody was aware. I was going to turn it over to the safety portion of our strategic plan, but make sure everybody was on board before we do that. I felt there'd be enough interest here, and I'm assuming yes.
Yeah,
and it needs to go to the...
I mean, like I said, I'd like to see it done as soon as possible, but I'm just one.
Kyle?
Yes.
Okay, Todd? You got this one?
Yeah, I'm stuck on the quote in an email. I got a question mark beside mine. I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah. I'll resend it to you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. We meet, when we have our administrative meetings, we always review two items in a strategic plan to see where we're going with that piece. So I'll put that on our next item.
Can we prioritize that and have a recommendation? Okay. Going into item C, Ohio redistricting. Yep. Legislative update. Jeremy.
Yes, this is mine. I asked for this because we do have two issues on the May 3rd ballot, and it's a good question as to whether or not there will be a May 3rd election. So what I wanted to do as legislative liaison is just update the board on the state of that. And also, and I have to thank Todd for this one. Ohio School Board Association started up their town halls again, and he made me aware of that. I have just on the legislative side just three bills that are kind of working their way through the State House. I'd like to just try to be concise as possible on those, but just give you guys a brief update. And I can send you guys any information regarding this. But so with redistricting, the Ohio Redistricting Commission about a week and a half ago approved two sets of maps, one for the House and Senate seats, and then a second for the congressional districts. Ohio has 15. There are currently lawsuits against each of them in the Ohio Supreme Court with just upcoming deadlines, there's a, just to give you an example of one, there's a 4 o'clock deadline for the commission to respond to one of them. So those are working their way through, but to give you an idea of where the state legislature is at on this one, they approved in Senate Bill 9 an extra $9 million for local boards of elections to administer the election. So essentially, because everything has been delayed, the strain is on them right now to get stuff done as fast as possible within the time frames. So what's essentially indicating is if these maps are upheld, I think it's all in all likelihood that the primary will still happen on May 3rd, no problem on our end with our issues. If the maps are struck down by the Ohio Supreme Court, then the two options essentially become the state legislature moves the primary entirely, so our ballot issues along with it get moved, or what the state could do is they could split the primary, where you have one election with issues like ours, where they're not affected by the maps, and another where it's every issue that is affected by maps. So your House races, but also your state board of election races, different things like that. Now, you might read, and this is just one brief side note on that, that some of these lawsuits ask for the Supreme Court to essentially step in and move the dates, but we won't know that until they rule, obviously. But I want to pause there and just see if there's any questions or comments on that before I moved on to the legislative side.
I mean, it sounds like a mess.
It's the most, I should have just said that. It's a mess. It's a headache to unravel. But the hope is that they can get it together. Either these maps are upheld or something goes forward soon, because we have our stuff together with our ballot issues. We're ready to go. It's down in Columbus where there's problems.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any other House bills?
Yes. So there are three House bills, and they are all on the House side that OSBA is kind of notifying boards of education to keep track of. The first is House Bill 126. This is one that we've previously been updated. The board has been by our superintendent, but essentially what happened recently, and I believe this was on March 2nd, there was a concurrence vote in the House that was unanimously rejected. So, and that was including the bill's original sponsor. So the bill now likely goes to a conference committee. And essentially, just give you guys a refresher, what the Senate version would have done is would have restricted and prohibited, actually, board's ability to initiate property valuation challenges, restrict the counterclaim process through the Board of Revision. So Ira's smiling over there because he knows how hurtful this could be to local districts. But
it prevents the district from challenging real estate values if they feel that the county auditor missed something.
Yeah, and one of the problems with that is, I believe this was from the Legislative Service Commission, that what this could end up doing is, because you're not able to challenge, it could shift a greater tax burden to your average homeowners. So that's the concern now. Like, as I said, going to a conference committee, it could very well die in conference committee, but that process could take weeks, months, but I'll update the board as that goes along. And now there are two more bills that have not been introduced out of committee, but are still in committee. The first is House Bill 290. I know, Ira, you've spoken about this in previous board meetings last year. It's just essentially the statewide voucher program. It's nicknamed for it's the backpack bill, which essentially would provide $5,500 for K-8 students or $7,500 for 9-12 students. It's estimated it would cost $1.2 billion, but the state doesn't necessarily have $1.2 billion just lying around in the budget. So the concern with this bill is that it would take money away from public schools, and then because you're taking money away, you're increasing the tax burden on local citizens.
And that is exactly what's happening today, just not at that level. So it's being pushed as we're giving people a choice. Unfortunately, we like choice, but the ramification of that choice is it will cause our schools to become more segregated, and it will take money out of public education, diverting it to private education, where there are no true controls or management or oversight of those. We are managed by Columbus up one side and down the other with the reports that we have to provide. and you look at the community schools today and the charter schools, they give very little. Todd?
No, I just guess.
I'm sorry.
You're fine, yeah. You tend to scoot away from it.
Yeah, so that is the concern there, and that's why organizations like Ohio School Board Association oppose it for essentially those exact reasons. And the final bill is House Bill 327. This is probably the most controversial bill, to put it lightly, so I'm going to try to watch my words carefully here. But this bill is in its 12th version, and this is the one that would ban, and the language changes, it's a headache to get through, but the ban the teaching of divisive concepts. And the concern amongst the Ohio School Board Association, the Ohio Education Association, is that the broad language of this bill would essentially create a lot of confusion as to what can and cannot be taught in the classroom, and potentially make it where things that were once perfectly legal in the classroom to say, now you kind of have to take a step back. And in particular, one of the enforcement mechanisms is teachers, principals, or superintendents could be stripped of their licenses after, I believe, 3 violations. And so, again, the legislative platform of the Ohio School Board Association always opposes bills that take away local control over curriculums, and that's what this bill is seemingly intending to do. So that is also still in committee. They introduced an updated version, I just want to say last month. That is the state of that bill. We'll see if either of these two bills go anywhere, but those are the 3, so now kind of open it up to any questions.
I have a question.
Yes.
Isn't this the bill that if something is taught, it has to give the pros and the cons of the issue?
That is, in one version of it, yeah, there is.
One version?
It restricts the ability to talk about controversial issues or current issues to the point where you have to essentially present both sides of some historical events, but where the Ohio Education Association and other organizations oppose it is that there's no teaching two sides of the Holocaust, just to give an example. And that is the concern of that, and that's why there's been so many educators. I could pull you up. I've downloaded some testimony from different educators that have gone down to Columbus and say this is not right. And that's the exact concern. And I'll add this to this. We use a term in constitutional law called chilling effect, where if you restrict one type of speech, what other type of speech will people think is restricted? So essentially it's applying that concept where if you try to restrict one type of concept or teaching what you can be taught, what are people then afraid that is then restricted? So that is the concern of the board of the with this bill. That answer your question?
Yes, because it doesn't really help education at all.
No. the primary
opposition.
The primary opposition from Ohio School Board Association is also that this doesn't necessarily solve any problems.
It doesn't solve any problems. It just leads people not to want to have a communication.
Exactly. So distracts from the real issues, we could say. But and I can forward. I have this written down. I can forward it to you guys if you'd like it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Yep, no problem.
All right. One item that's not on board discussion that's kind of outstanding is the calendar. I'm going to put it on the next agenda. We'll need a motion in a second, then we can have a formal discussion about it. My question was, the motion would be to move current planned spring break to match the career centers.
Nothing that is already set in stone. I'm talking future. I believe people should have.
Okay.
Should know when their vacation is, but the next one.
So when you say next one, 2023?
Yes.
Don?
I would.
Okay. I have a draft.
I think should follow career center.
Okay, then I misunderstood.
I don't want to change anything.
I got it. Okay.
That wouldn't be right.
So then it's not outstanding. All right, we'll move into our public participation section. Do we have anybody?
Sean has a list.
Nobody. Okay. Then we'll jump down to new business. Item A, approve the superintendent's contract. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Fenn, do I have a second?
Second.
Golub. Questions, comments, discussion?
Question. Now, under new business, is this where I can bring up ideas, concerns about something that's not been discussed yet, or is this just under the contract?
This is just a contract.
Just under contract? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There's other, you can bring up new business, but there's a motion just for this piece.
Okay. I got you. No, I'm good.
Okay. Hearing none?
Mrs. Finn?
Yes.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger?
No.
Mr. Schraff?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes. Motion passes. Todd, we are going into executive session for...
Yes, we are meeting with the attorney, and you will need...
B and C.
You can bring your computers with you.
I want to ask if there's any other new business.
Typically, new business, we usually get it ahead of time and get it on the agenda. But is it new business or discussion?
It would be discussion.
So just get us a topic and we'll get it on board discussion next agenda.
All right.
All right, so we're going to go into executive session for item B and C. I need a motion.
So moved.
I have Fenn. Do I have a second?
Yeah.
Schaffrath? Ira?
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Schaffrath?
Yes.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yeah.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
It is 7:07.
That's what they have.
We will not be returning for any action at the end of the executive session.
Okay. Thank you.